Well, good morning, friends at Night Street. Although I know that you're not actually in the Night Street building right now, I'm grateful to be with you here this morning. I really wish we could actually be together, but it's going to be a while before we can do that. So I'm grateful for this opportunity at least. Will you pray with me as we begin together? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Consider the fact that as we have prayed that prayer, we've just declared war. War against the Prince of Darkness as we align ourselves with the King of Kings. That is what Alliance Pastor David Chotka says in his book called Power Praying. It's a book that's helped me in those times when someone asks me to pray for them and I don't know how to pray. Or when there's a situation that I just don't know how to pray for, but I know I should. So the Lord's Prayer is a very good place to start. David Chotka fleshes that out a lot in his book, and so I'm borrowing several of his ideas to help guide us this morning. I've been asked to address the question of how we can better pray for our international workers and the people amongst whom they are ministering. How do you pray for people you've never even met? Where do you start? So I'd like to suggest that we use the Lord's Prayer as a model to pray for our international friends. So the prayer starts with a focus on God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's all about him. He is our Father. Consider the wonder of being his child, of actually being adopted into his family. Like, how amazing is it that the God of all creation, who spoke everything into existence by the power of his word, would call you his child? So we and all people around the world can share in Jesus' experience of having God as our Father. So pray for people to be aware of that reality, to take advantage of their welcome into the throne room. I spent 20 years in West Africa with the Alliance, and most of those years were in Niger, which is one of the world's poorest countries. A very small percentage of the population are followers of Jesus Christ. I'd like to introduce you to my teammates, Ace and Cecilia, whom some of you have met, and they are still there working in Niger, working amongst a people group called the Tuareg, also known as the Tamashek, a group that has very few believers of Jesus. So let's use Ace and Cecilia and the Tuareg people as an example as we work our way through the Lord's Prayer and see how we can pray for them. Well, first we can pray that many Tuareg people will come to know God as their Father. See, they follow a religion that says it's blasphemous to call God your Father. They think, you can't do that. But God says we can. We also pray that his name would be hallowed, a word that I don't think we use in any other context. It means to honor him, to declare that God's name will expel the rule of evil from the earth. So we can pray that Tuaregs will honor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, recognize that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Then Jesus carries on and says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or as Eugene Peterson wrote in the Message, Lord, set the world right. Well, this gives us an awful lot to pray for, doesn't it? Because there are so many places where we see God's will is not being done. So many places where the world is just not right. And it needs to start within. Lord, your kingdom come in me. See, if there's a kingdom, that means there's a king. Am I honoring God as my king? Submitting to his rule in my life? Or is there another king that needs to be dethroned? anything or anyone that I'm honoring more than I'm honoring him. See, to disobey a king is to commit treason, a crime worthy of death. Chodkis says that to pray like this is to say to God that you are partnering with him against all the forces of wickedness to make God's rule effective, to usurp the evil rule of the devil. And that's what our internationals want to do, our international workers want to do in Niger, to reclaim territory that the devil says is his. I long to see the kingdom come in Niger and other places around the world. You see, there's a false king there who needs to be dethroned. When I lived there, I was reminded of that king's presence several times every day. I lived next door to a mosque and heard the call of prayer calling out five times a day over a loudspeaker. Again, during their holy month of fasting, when people go without food and drink from sun up to sundown every day for a month, thinking that that's what God requires of them. People are tied to a religion that offers them no eternal hope, no forgiveness of sin, no relationship with the king. So to pray for his kingdom to come is to pray for a reestablishment of the kind and gentle rule that was intended in the first place. Ace and Cecilia are involved in ministries designed to introduce people to the king, to demonstrate his love, to communicate hope. Well, in addition to running a small medical clinic, Ace, who is a medical doctor, works with a cooperative of Tuareg men, helping them save money to feed their families, teaching them moral stories from our favorite book, preparing recorded stories for those who want to hear more. Cecilia has been very involved in a vocational school for teenage girls, teaching them a trade, visiting their families, praying for them, taking opportunities to speak about our best friend. So we can ask the Lord to use these activities to bring his kingdom to Niger. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We can pray for God's will to be done. And we know because scripture tells us that it's God's will that no one will perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. So we can certainly pray for the salvation of many, many Tuareg people. Most of the believers there are young in their faith. We can pray for that they will be strong, faithful, strengthened in their faith. Scripture explains many other things that we know are God's will. And so we can pray these things for our international workers and for our Tuareg and for the Tuareg believers, that they will obey the scriptures, that the believers will love one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, that those around them will see their good works and know that they're different and praise their Father in heaven, recognizing that they love each other. We pray that they will be united. And all those one another verses in scripture. There are also other prayers of scripture that we can pray for others. Things that, like following Paul's example in his epistles. For example, he prayed for the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 17, he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Or there's another one in Colossians, how Paul prayed for the believers in Colossae. Chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, he says, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And on he goes. See, we can pray for these things for our international workers as well. For Ace and Cecilia to know God's will, for their ministries, for their family, for the team out there. How to respond to incessant requests for financial help. Lord, your will be done. See, then there's also a physical element to the kingdom. Romans chapter 8 tells us that the whole creation waits in eager expectation for the Son of God to be revealed. See, the physical world is under the curse of sin, and that is perhaps nowhere more evident than it is in Niger. It's a land of drought, of desert. Well, people grow crops, but the soil isn't good, and they rarely get enough food for their families for the year. From time to time, locusts will come. They can reduce a field that's green, and they just reduce it to sticks and twigs in short order, stripping the plants of everything that's green. According to the United Nations Human Development Index, Niger is the poorest country in the world. The Human Development Index is a measure of human development. It's based on three basic things: health, education, and income. So based on these things, Niger is the world's least livable country. The World Food Program says that 2.5 million people in Niger are chronically food insecure. What does that mean? It means that they are unable to meet their basic food requirements, even during years of average agricultural production. So we can pray for God's blessing on this place, spiritually and physically. Praying for crops to be abundant, for people to know God as their provider, and to pray for Ace and Cecilia to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and how best to help people who are struggling to feed their families. Excuse me. And that leads us to the next phrase of Jesus' prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Most Canadians don't take this line too seriously. We don't need to. Our cupboards are full of food. Our fridges are stuffed with frozen things. And many of us are trying to lose weight, or at least we should be. So, but when I think of international workers and how this applies, well, it becomes a prayer for what they need in order to do the task that God has called them to do. So I pray for the Global Advance Fund, from which our workers worldwide are supported. All the Alliance Churches of Canada give to that fund, and then our workers are paid through that. So I pray that our budget will be met so that our workers can pay their rent, do their ministries. I pray that God will give them whatever it is they need, physically, emotionally, relationally, for that day, for the day ahead, in order to give lost people access to Jesus. But for my Nigerian friends, this prayer is literal. They often don't know where food is going to come from. How will they make it through to the next harvest? How can they afford grain when the price keeps going up? And in these days of COVID-19, well, people are being told to stay home, but if they don't go to work today, they won't be able to buy supper this evening. There aren't government bailouts there like the ones Canadians are getting. Pray that God will supply the daily needs of our Nigerian friends and their families, that they will learn to seek Him daily and rely on Him. Notice that it's give us today our daily bread. It's a daily thing. It's not something we're supposed to store up and forget about God. So then, you know, the more we've got all this stuff, well, we don't need God anymore. We can forget about Him. But He's more concerned about us being in communication with Him than about us having more than we need. He wants us connecting with Him daily. So let's carry on in Jesus' prayer. He says, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Again, I think we need to start at home. Are there sins I need to confess? Are there people I need to forgive? Jesus makes this connection here between our forgiving of others and God's forgiving of us. We're asking God to forgive us in the same way that we forgive others. Yikes. That's scary if there are people that we are refusing to forgive. So we can pray for ourselves, and then we can pray for our others. Pray for others. For our international workers, the Tuareg believers. Pray that they will truly forgive. They'll be free from resentment, from the desire to repay evil with evil. Pray that the believers will genuinely forgive those who are cruel to them, those who rejoice when evil things happen. When people in Niger choose to follow Jesus, you know, they often suffer for that decision. Being disowned by their families, losing jobs, being mocked. Sometimes a young person will be kicked out of their home. So we pray that believers will truly forgive those who treat them in these ways. I'd like to introduce you to a Nigerian friend of mine whose nickname is Cowboy, pictured here with his little son, Moses. He's been a follower of Jesus for 8 or 9 years now. And he is solidly following Jesus, but he's been ridiculed for it, accused of having chosen the wrong way, of the wrong religion, of betraying his people, and those sorts of things. Well, one day, little Moses, when he was about 5, he was badly burned in a cooking fire. And severe burns were on his abdomen, up his left side and arm. And Cowboy was just terrified. And he took this little boy in his arms and he just begged Jesus, "Don't let him die. No, don't let my boy die." And his neighbors actually laughed. And they told him, "That's what you get for leaving the religion of your people. That's what you get for following your Jesus." How hurtful is that? And there's absolutely nothing funny about a small child being burned. Well, it took several weeks, but God healed little Moses, kept him free from infection, which is no small thing out in a village where there's sand and the kid, it's just so hard to keep him clean. Well, he's got some scars, but he's just fine, running like all the other little kids. It's not easy for a father to forgive the people who laughed at this horrible event. But as a follower of Jesus, that's what Cowboy had to do. This is the kind of thing we pray for when we ask God to strengthen believers and enable them to forgive. Jesus carries on and prays, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." The scriptures promise us a way out when we are tempted. We can pray that the Tuareg believers will find it, and our IWs too. Sometimes I think that sometimes people may think that when you get to be an international worker, you know, and you've been had some theological training and the endorsement of your church, it's somehow this makes you automatically holy. Well, let me assure you that is not the case. It's not that we have this, that having this job that somehow takes away your temptations, the temptations and struggles that ordinary believers have. Well, we're all ordinary believers and nothing could be further from the truth. So pray for your international workers. Where are you tempted? As you seek to have victory over that area of your life, pray that our international workers will also have victory over similar temptations. That God will deliver international workers and local believers from the evil one, giving them the strength to stand. That they will dress themselves with God's armor. That they will stay close to the Good Shepherd, the only safe place for a sheep to be. A.W. Tozer wrote, "Your spiritual safety and self and well-being lies in being near the Shepherd. Stay close to Jesus, and all the wolves of the world cannot get a tooth into you." Stay close to Jesus. And the prayer ends as it began, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." It ends by bringing our attention back to the one to whom we pray. It's all about God's kingdom and his glory. It is true that this phrase is not in many of the early New Testament manuscripts, so it may or may not have been part of what Jesus actually said. But it has been part of the prayer throughout church history, and it certainly does not disagree in any way with the rest of Scripture. So I'm very comfortable with including it when I pray. So now, let's take what we've learned, and let's talk about another family of international workers who have also visited your congregation, Wes and Nancy, and their two little girls who are working in the Asian spice region. I want to lead you in prayer for them. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you for the privilege we have of being your children. Thank you for Wes and Nancy, that you have chosen them to be your own. Remind them of that today, how much you love them, how precious they are to you. Remind them that they are valuable to you, not because of their work and their accomplishments, but because you have adopted them and they are yours. Not many people where they work know you as their father. Please reveal yourself to those people. Call many of them to be your children. And hallowed be your name. Lord, help Wes and Nancy to honor your name in their marriage, with their children, in their work, in their friendships, in their leisure time. May your name be lifted up and honored in the country where Wes and Nancy work. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you are the king of the universe, but so many people don't recognize that. Thank you that Wes and Nancy do. Bring it to their attention if there is any way that they are not submitting to your kingship. Give them the courage to repent and submit. Then we think of where they are, a place where King Jesus is neither known nor worshipped. Will you dethrone the false gods, the false kings of that land, and reestablish the kind and gentle rule that you intended for its people? Your will be done in that Asian land, as it is in heaven. We know it's your will that people won't perish, but that they will come to repentance. Please, in your kindness, lead these people to repentance. May the believers there obey your word, loving each other as you told us to do. May they be faithful in obeying your will. Give them today their daily bread. Father, we recognize that all things belong to you and that you promise to supply our needs. Will you give Wes and Nancy what they need today? I think of the Global Advance Fund. With the COVID-19 crisis, gifts to the GAF have been reduced. Please encourage those who can give to do so. Give Wes and Nancy what they need in order to do what you've asked them to do. This week, they're seeking the renewal of their visas. Please provide that for them as well. And we pray for their host country, which has also been affected by the pandemic. Please provide for people there. Let them see you as the source of all things. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Thank you that Wes and Nancy know their sins are forgiven, nailed to the cross. Will you remind them of that today? Fill their hearts with joy because they are righteous in your eyes. Remind them if there is anything they need to repent of or anyone they need to forgive. Give them the strength and the courage to do it. And lead them not into temptation, but deliver them from the evil one. We know you're not the one who tempts us, but that we're tempted by our own evil desires. Lord, purify Wes and Nancy's desires that they would long for what you want to give them. Help them to see and take the way out when they are tempted. Help them to be pure in their thoughts, honest in business, kind in their dealings with others. Let them release their pride, their fears, and whatever else you want to remove from them. Make them more like Jesus. Protect them from the evil one. Protect their little girls. Let those children grow up to love you and serve you. And I ask for you to protect as well the small church in their area. Purify your church. Protect it from the enemy. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. May Wes and Nancy bring you glory in everything they do. Amen. I trust that this will be a helpful example for you as you pray for yourself, your own family, your pastors, your community, and for the peoples of the world and those living amongst them to bring them access to Jesus. So thank you for your prayers for our international workers. Let me just bring to your attention another one resource that is available. It's called the Global Update. So every week, this comes from the National Office, the National Ministry Center in Toronto. It's sent out weekly, just a list of requests from our international workers all around the world. So you can send an email to the address shown on your screen and get on the list to receive the Global Update prayer requests. Again, thank you. Thank you for your heart. May God use you, strengthen you in these days, and use you to make a difference in your homes, your communities, and the world. So bow with me one more time as we close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you again, and may God bless you.